New media, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to unite and assist fellow loners and dreamers, to advise and amuse mankind. On behalf of the Not Sam Network, to boldly go where no broadcast, no Not Samsonite, has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Featuring one celebrity husband's midlife crisis, a reformed party girl's quarterlife crisis, and millennials in Star Trek costumes. Sitting in the captain's chair, the first officer of your tomorrow, Roxy Stryer.
Greetings, people of tomorrow. Roxy Stryer here, our captain, as always, even though he doesn't like me to say, is on a super secret mission. This time I feel like it is, though. I feel like he's really on a mission.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those things that we can't share too much about.
But more so, he's just being a superhero all across the planet. And every time on every Earth.
Literally all across the planet. Yeah. It is literally all across the planet, this one.
He's Ur-aware, as the kids say.
Yeah.
My sister just keeps telling me how not hip I am.
Wait, is it everywhere or everywhere?
No, everywhere.
Okay, everywhere. I have to stop this.
Okay, so I'm Roxy Stryer, that person who's too woke for the rest of us and woke enough to know that the word woke is totally out. Steph Sabra.
Hello, the wokest in the building.
Why don't we use woke anymore?
It's just not
it's
woke.
It's not woke, yeah. Crap. What's our new one? Hip. No, that's older.
There's a lot.
Dope. I'm the dopest.
We're dope.
You know who certainly makes me feel better about my dopeness, though? Michael Klaus.
Why do I make... Because I'm
because
less...
Because you're infinitely.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
I always know when you're in the room, I'm not the least dope person in the room.
That's why you invite me out so many times.
That's exactly
That makes more
it.
Sense. That
and
does.
And, of course, our producer, Jeff Graham, also here. Hi, Jeff.
Rox, where do I stack on the dope scale?
That's a great question. Ooh. See, that's the thing, Jeff. I said hi because I was going to introduce you with your dope level, but then I really didn't know. I panicked about how dope you are.
Depends on the day.
It does.
I feel like you're very, well, you're very 2019 friendly, so that makes you somewhat woke, but you also do, like, nerdy things.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make you as dope.
I feel like the lack of woke dopeness is that I don't really engage. I feel like whenever political conversations happen, I try to play Switzerland. I kind of step out and take a call.
I have zero idea about your political beliefs.
I'm not as conservative as Michael, but I'm probably not as liberal as a lot of Hollywood.
That is so surprising.
About the liberalness?
Yeah, because... In conversation about anything,
dude,
like,
your drinking is so loud.
It's
oh
ASMR.
My god. This oh my god!
This is a
really?
Double video. We're ASMR and we're giving
Sorry,
the news.
Keep going, Steph.
Okay, here's the thing about Jeff. In conversation with me, and the difference between him and Michael is that in any conversation, I know Michael's a conservative. In most conversations with Jeff, I think he's a liberal. He's more. Not evolved.
Good thing he wasn't listening. Jeez.
Oh, I heard it. Oh.
Jeff, let me ask you this because I don't want to put you on the spot or ask you specifics. But when it comes to social issues, are you conservative as well?
Not really. No. I mean, like I'd say I'm probably like a sort of financial. I believe in capitalism for the most part. But you know what? It's kind of weird. The older I get, I feel more and more like. The system that we have set up financially doesn't allow people to succeed as much as it could.
You know,
so they say you get more conservative, but I don't know. The more I'm seeing how these systems play out, the less I'm feeling that way.
You know, that's so interesting. You just said when you get older, you get more conservative.
Oops.
Because what I...
Sorry, we lost you for a sec.
What I've always... I could tell because you said oops.
I said oops. I'm going to be honest. Peek behind the curtain. Muted Roxy. Meant to mute myself.
Oops. What I always heard was if you're young... And you're a Republican, you're heartless. If you're old and you're a Democrat, you're an idiot. That's what they always said. Like when we were, I don't know, when I was in college, that's what everybody said. Obviously, I disagree with that. On both ends, what a massive blanket statement to say on either side of those things. But it is interesting that you are getting more liberal as you get older.
Yeah, I,
Jeff, really, I think that's an LA thing.
It's probably an LA thing. It's also, and Mike, I'd be interested to hear what you think on this, but I've really tried to engage with, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of JC, that being Jesus Christ, and I try to look
I thought you were talking about Mondewicks.
Also Mondewicks.
I thought you were actually talking about Mondewicks.
But I've been trying to figure out really what he says and like what he talked about, and I don't know always where he would have stayed. I think he probably would have been a hippie liberal snowflake.
100%.
Ooh, I don't know what you think, Mike, but...
No. People confuse love for agreement, I think, a lot of times. Where they're like,
I don't understand the sentence.
So people are like, well, Jesus, everyone can do everything. And they're like, well, Jesus still loves me. Jesus loves me. It's like, yes, there's love, but that doesn't mean agreement. It's like a parental love. Your parents will always love you no matter what you do.
Wait, tie this into politics for me, though.
Well, there
I think he had moved off politics.
In 2018.
Oh, I thought he just called him a liberal.
I was talking money. I was talking about how he would have viewed government, how he would have felt about a system that I believe does tend to like systematically reward rich people.
Well, I mean, you look at the Bible, and obviously Solomon was the richest man alive, and he was very blessed by God. And David as well, and so many others.
That's not Jesus, right?
No, but it's still the Bible. It's still God breathed.
For sure.
All of Scripture is God breathed. Means actually spoke it into existence.
I thought you were saying like got milk.
Oh.
So my heart is heavy with all this terminology. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I think people I think as long as you are, I think it's not as much your wealth, it's your generosity.
Right. That's
and
what
I think
I was thinking
too. That's the issue with the current society, is that no one's generous anymore. We have wealthy people who are no longer generous.
Fascinating.
That I think is where you can maybe find the issue.
All of the people are wealthy and non generous.
Bill Gates.
Just gonna let that
sit. See, like Bill Gates, there's nothing wrong. Like, he has pledged to give away like 90% of his wealth.
Such a blanket statement, Mike.
So
Mike,
I literally was gonna let him drown in it because I just wanted us to see how long we could go before Michael started talking again to clarify his thoughts. It wasn't long.
Just a quick question on that, though, Mike. If people aren't doing it on their own, whose job is it to provoke that?
It's other people to able to...
It's God breathed.
I got breath.
I'm like, if people... That's why I'm like, maybe it is the government's job. No one else is stepping up to the plate. Who's going to push this?
The issue is smart
the
people.
The Romans.
The issue is smart people always know where they can get rich, and they'll leave.
Okay. Right.
That's the issue.
Sometimes you make statements, and I literally don't understand the words. Smart people always know where they can make money, and they'll leave?
They'll leave the U.S. They'll go other places. They'll be able to stash their money. The world is a capitalist system. I know we're getting really political. The world is a capitalist system of you can go other places, and people will try to recruit you by giving you less of a tax as long as they can still take some of your money.
Here's what I will say. Off to a weird start. We have so many things to talk about on tonight's show. Wow. Kevin's listening to this right now from land far, far away and is probably like, what are these millennials thinking they're solving the world and Jesus Christ? Just talk about sex, love, and dating, man. And don't you worry, Kev. We absolutely will tonight. We've got some crazy stories. Steph has an interesting catfishing situation that we're definitely going to dive into. I received a bizarre text from an ex kind of thing. I don't know if you two understand how microphones work. What is up with both of you guys with your drinking
your computer
and your whispering?
My computer died.
I have a charger in that backpack right in front
of me.
You.
Okay. It's all love. Everybody just say what you need and then take it. Capitalism.
Way to transition.
Thank you so much. Also, Michael and I have friends visiting from out of town, kind of talking about how to handle that. And then, of course, we've got some wild news. Jeremy Renner is making headlines, which is crazy because I don't think we've seen his name on any kind of tabloids ever before, except for his cocaine usage, which I'm familiar with. Cuba Gooding Jr. also, he's no stranger to those headlines. And yes, he is back at it, so we definitely are going to be talking about that and a whole lot more. But I did want to...
But there's already a super chat, so apparently the fans are loving what we're talking about.
Okay, what's
Garth
happening?
Garth McMurray says, Jesus loves me, but he never visits, texts, or calls.
You like that one, huh?
Wow, that seems like a real insider joke.
Really got him.
But thanks for the super chat.
I do love Garth, though, so I can groove with that. What I will say for anybody who doesn't know is we are live on Not Sam's YouTube every single Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Super chats, we always shout them out. And we love you guys. Thanks so much for giving Sam the gas money to get to and from SiriusXM. And thank you to Sam Roberts for being like our father. It is a boss day. So you're like the papa boss.
Yes.
Is that what it is? National boss day?
National boss day.
Just national?
Not sure about the inner part, but definitely national.
National. All right. Well, then shout out to Sam Roberts. And, of course, shout out to Kevin Undergaro, Maria Menounos, all of the boss people in the building. Okay. But I did want to start with this tweet that I got, you know, because I was transitioning so beautifully before Michael decided he wanted to give love to the super chat, which I actually liked. Here we go. You were like, you were about to throw shade, but then I didn't. And you didn't expect that. Here we go with the thing that I tweeted earlier that I want to get your guys' thoughts on, because I tweeted 7 hours ago. Reminder, you are not a tree. If you don't like where you are in life, move. And I have been getting some very mixed thoughts on this tweet. A lot of people coming at me with white priv. Like, not everybody can just move. Some of us are trees.
Of course.
Many of us...
Yep.
Oh no, am I on the same side as Michael with this one? Many of us are trees. We have roots. Some of us have jobs, you know. So I just would like to first clarify and then learn people's thoughts. Number one, if you have Twitter, I am assuming that you are in a situation where you are not in a third world country in a very dangerous situation that you physically cannot get out of in being captured or whatever it is. If you are seeing my tweet on Twitter, I'm assuming you have Twitter.
You have access.
And I'm assuming you have access. So those are the people I'm speaking to. I'm not making a reminder, you know, I'm not going to an orphanage somewhere and talking to a six-year-old child and telling them, you're not a tree, move. Which is what people like hardcore were making it seem like. Which was frustrating. The reason I tweeted it was I woke up this morning and I feel like society does a lot of bitching and moping about hating their job, hating their financial situation, hating their friends, hating their family situation, whatever. And I'm feeling very motivated more today than ever to change my circumstances that I don't like. If I don't like something, to work to change it. Now, that doesn't mean I can change it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I can change it in a year from now. But it means that I'm going to work really hard to start changing things so that the 5-year, 10-year, 20-year, 50-year, whatever it is, can look different for me. So, you know, like a snail. So maybe I'm not a tree, I'm a snail. Right? That's the pace that I'm going at. So that's kind of why I just wanted to remind people, if you don't like something, you have the ability to change it. Does that make sense to you guys? And do you think I'm being totally white priv, honestly? Steph, our most woke that we decided, or whatever word insert here.
Reporting for duty.
Yes.
I know exactly what you meant. I actually have heard that before, and I really like it because I think it can apply past physical movement and economic movement to mental movement. You know, everyone's gone through times where they don't like a certain situation. And for me, it happened a few months ago and it was more personal, but I was like, I can move mentally with this. I can shift.
Change your mindset.
Can change my mindset. And then I don't have to be miserable. And cause no, just a reminder, no one cares about your complaints.
Yeah.
So it sucks to be that person.
I agree with that. And also a lot of the comments back were like, you know, I have 2 kids to take care of. It's not like I can just quit my job, which is so not what I was implying.
Not at all. And I don't think it's privilege at all. I see if you really, really, really want to reach and think of that statement in the most demonic form, sure, you can pull that it's a privilege statement. But that you have to look at intention, which I'm a firm believer in, and obviously that's not what you meant.
Yeah.
Is it obvious, though? I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Michael, what do you think?
I love that attitude. As someone...
Oh, no.
You know, again, people look at that and might say privilege. I think I totally agree with Steph, by the way. Look at this agreement going on back and forth. that it is more of a mental thing. And I read, you know, I'm reading one of the comments on here, Roxy, someone saying, oh, it's hard to do when you're not making a lot of money and I have to work 40 hours. And if, you know,
I got a lot of those comments.
If I want a good education, I'll be in debt. And you point out you can take classes online, look for another job. The crazy thing is, you can learn anything on YouTube nowadays. There is almost nothing you can't learn on YouTube for free. Take an hour, a half hour a day, an hour a day. And it gets back to what Kev always says, hit singles.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to hit the home run. Everyone is thinking, but am I going to hit the home run? Am I going to hit the home run? Think if you hit a single every year, in 4 years you'll get to home plate.
I agree with that. The other thing that I think is a common misconception about probably all of us in this room and in the booth is that we are making millions of dollars because our faces are being seen, which is just so not the truth. I talked to Steph about this the other day. When you break down how many hours I'm working and how much I'm getting paid, I am 1,000% making less than half of minimum wage.
Yep.
So just to be clear, because people were saying, easy for you to say because you're rich. Oh boy, am I not.
And also,
I'm just working more hours.
The point of I have two kids to take care of, I see that point. Obviously, it's not my life, but I see that point. But that is your life, and you get to take care of two beautiful kids that you, I assume, love. But
I also believe that life is a series of choices, and you did choose to have children.
I don't have kids because I could not afford in any realm a kid right now.
You know what I actually decided the other day? That if I could afford a kid, I think that I would like to have one.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds like a crazy thing to say. I super cannot afford a kid, so it's not even on the table. But I've always wanted foster kids. I've said that my whole life. I really, really would like to foster kids. I don't think I'm great, or I'm not a particularly maternal person. I'm a great caretaker, but I'm not very maternal. And I have always thought, like, ages 5, 6 and up, I have a lot to offer somebody. And so I've always really wanted to foster children. So if I was wealthy enough right now and had more time and could actually dedicate that, then I would. But the reality of the situation is that I cannot. So I'm not doing that because that's the life choice I'm making. So I always think it's kind of fascinating when somebody does say, I can't do that because I have children, which may be true, but you have children because you had kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
For whatever, you know, to whatever extent of that was your choice, at least one part of that was your choice, which was the penis and the vagina part of that, or the adoption
part, or whatever that is.
And again, 100%. I'm not talking to the people who really it was not their choice. That's not the people that are tweeting at me, because I'm talking about mostly males that are tweeting at me. So those, of course, Steph, you're right, with most of the time, I am not speaking to those people right now.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not speaking to the people who don't have access to Twitter, who are in really horrible situations. But anyway, that was my frustrating day.
That's interesting.
Where I was feeling motivated this morning. I woke up, I tweeted this, and it had such mixed reaction that I was like, I don't even fucking know why I try.
You have almost 650 likes on it, though, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, I do have over 1,000 likes, though, on my earlier tweet, which was about Jojo Rabbit, the Taika Waititi movie that he liked my tweet to, just saying.
What?
Yeah, this was a crazy movie, guys. It is, as he describes it, an anti-hate satire. It is a Hitler satire, and boy, was it edgy and excellent. I can't wait till you guys see it.
Really? I can't wait to see it.
Definitely one of the best movies of the year. So, so excited for you guys to check it out.
On a scale of 1 to Maleficent.
Oh, my God. Michael, Steph and I went to see Maleficent 2. You can check out her review on Popcorn Talk now.
You both loved it, right?
I did love it. Steph, I turned over, and she was sobbing.
Sobbing.
During
Maleficent,
this cold-hearted bitch just sobbing.
Yeah, she was just losing it. Like,
something about the story hits me real
hard. It's beautiful story, but also, like, yo, you are crying. Like,
I'm the 1%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You a common
get that on your
are you a common movie crier though, Steph? Like, is
no.
that where you
no,
let
I,
it out?
Not at all.
Steph and I have gone to many a movies now, and I believe this is the. No, what was the other one that you and I both cried in that everybody else was heartless?
Stuber.
Was it Captain Marvel?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was Captain Marvel. All the other heartless bitches, and you and I were crying. I think I'm the same way. Where when I see, there's something about like. Very powerful women getting abused by society that makes you and I like tearful for life. It's not even like about the movie anymore. So, but I did look over and I'm kind of sitting there watching with a little bob and smile, and she is wiping her face.
Like, wait, you're smiling and she's bald.
Just like drenched.
Yeah.
Trying so hard to keep composure.
It was kind of wild.
I was like wondering if she saw it.
Yeah.
Clearly she did. So.
It was interesting.
Yep.
Steph, that was probably not the most embarrassing thing that happened to you this week, though.
Yeah.
Wow, you're ready for this one. You were caught, but it wasn't you. You were caught by a staff member who is on a dating app. No shame in the game.
No,
most people
not at all.
Are. And he saw your picture on the dating app and approached you and asked you.
Yeah, I feel like Shaggy really wasn't me this time. He told me that he saw me on Bumble.
On the counter.
It wasn't me. With my photo, not only my photo, but my name, too. And I was like, I swear, Steven. Sorry.
Sure. I swear.
Stephon.
Let me start it over.
I swear, Steve Kelly.
Back to Shaggy. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
A coworker saw me on a dating app, photo and name.
You know we're live, right?
Yep. We're just going to keep it going. Keep it going. And I was... Like, seriously, no. I'm just not on a dating app. No shame. A lot of my friends are on a dating app. It's just not for me. I am the worst texter, you know. I could not do
it.
It
drives me insane.
I know.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Wait, so what happened?
I don't know, but I asked this. I was like, can you show me what photo? And he's like, I can't go back, but I could show you. You posted it on your Instagram. And it was a photo from less than 2 months ago, which means someone is actively doing this to me.
Let me ask you this. Real question,
yeah.
Maybe off-air question, but I'm going to ask you
on
air instead. Do you think that this is a person who is your ex that's doing this to you? Do you think that this is a friend who's playing a joke? Do you think that this is a ex-friend? Who's doing this? And why?
I don't think so. What would be
it's one of those things.
You think it has to be an ex, a friend?
Or an ex-friend.
Or an ex-friend? You don't think it's someone random on Instagram?
No, knowing the circumstances, it probably is one of those.
No way. I can't put my mind in the body of an evil person than a serial killer.
I think that there's very, very small chance that this is a stranger.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe this is a...
A targeted offense.
Yeah. Well, because the stranger doing this, what is their end game? They just want to... Because then you're saying they're using it as a real dating thing, but then they show up and they just don't look like you? Like, they're legit catfishing?
Yeah, or talking, texting.
Yeah, the reason it's not a stranger is because they actually use your name.
Yeah.
A stranger would just use the name.
But here's why it might be. Because then if those people on Bumble search Instagram to see more about this person, they find Steph. So it's like a great catfish because you have a ton of other social media validation.
But it's not a great catfish because when you show up, they don't look like them.
That's always catfishing, though, right?
I think that sometimes when you're catfishing, you're using really old photos or you just don't show up. I guess you could be using somebody else, but I've never seen somebody use somebody else with somebody else's name and then just shown up as a different person.
Because if you're reverse Google image searching, stuff comes up. So it's like you protect yourself against suspicion.
What is reverse image Google searching?
That is if you have a photo that you can't identify, you can Google it. You drag it into Google and it'll show you where it came from.
But you can identify it because it has a name.
In this case, yeah.
Oh, you're saying in other cases.
But if, like, let's say you think you're getting catfished, you can reverse Google image search the photo and they'll be like, oh no, this is Oksana Blodel from Russia.
Oksana
Blodel.
You know.
So, Jeff.
Okay.
So, Jeff, you think that this is a stranger. Michael, you think this is who?
Someone close to her that is no longer close to her?
Steph?
I don't think there's any way.
Really?
not their style.
I'm not saying that. I think you pissed in somebody's cereal, and they are not happy about it.
That's a unique description of.
Is that not an expression you guys
know? Can anyone watching go on Bumble? Try how can you identify? Like, can you search people on Bumble, or does it have to come on swipes?
I've
been trying stuff, and I think you might have to have the app be swiping, be local. I know.
We need to ask people in LA to start swiping and try to find stuff and message back and forth with this person to see if they. I think you're being naive, and Jeff, you as well.
Well, what's the motivation, Rox, if you do know Steph?
To make her look bad.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so horrifying.
To see who's reaching out to her.
Yeah.
That would possibly be similar friends.
Also, a very good point. Yes, I agree with both of you.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many reasons.
Yeah. Wait, we're on the same page on this one, right?
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm on your page because I think that she could have pissed in a couple other people's cereals as well, but I'm not on your page.
Is that a normal saying? Have you heard?
It makes sense.
I mean, I get it.
I think it might have been a Boston thing. I don't know.
I love it. I'm stealing it. I think it's sure.
Great. Yeah.
The amount of stress I feel right now.
I figured. Remember when I just laid out the options? I didn't even lay out the other option because I figured that option was not an option. Let's just say it is that. Yeah, Steph and Jeff.
Yeah, let's just go with it.
Well, there's nothing you can do if it's not.
I think I need to pin a tweet that says if you see me on any, like, not that most people care, but if you do see me on it, it's not me. So maybe if you go to search my Twitter after you found me on a dating app, you would see that pinned.
I don't know, because really, is that what you want, like, employers to see when they're looking at, like, Steph, baller host, pinned tweet? The dating app person's not me. It's not me, guys.
Steph, have you called Bumble to try to get it flagged? Or, like, reached out?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
Remember, that's what our homeboy said to us.
Rogan O'Connor said that he was on Tinder. He got banned from Tinder.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. I just can't believe we're making up this full name? Rogan O'Connor. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we're making up this entire fake story just because she got caught on Bumble.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
why don't you just own up to it and say, it was me. Also. You caught me.
Speaking of stories of dating, I've got one for you guys. This is an interesting one. So about a year ago, or 8-ish months ago, I started seeing this guy. And what's happening with your face?
She has my charger. Why is she not plugging in?
There's no plug, Michael.
All right, let's figure this out together. Do you need a computer?
Do I, Michael?
No. I mean, I'm handling the chat.
Okay. It is good air. We're making good air. Boom, boom. Do you know that?
Wait,
this is what
do your Yoda voice. Can you tell us the Yoda story first?
I will, but here's what I will say.
Okay.
Every time I speak, literally every time I speak on this show, I look up to see Jeff in the monitor to see if he's smiling or laughing at all to gauge if I'm doing okay. Like, I'll make... he just flipped me off. I'll make a comment and I look up like a little kid looking to their parent like, was that good? Did I get him? Because he's like a middle-of-the-road target. Like, he's not the easiest laugh, but he's not the most difficult one. So I'm like, if he's smiling, I'm hitting most of the people.
He's a good consumer test.
The Yoda story, I will save that for you guys are going to want to check out a Screen Junkies video that will be coming to you guys in the future. But I have a very unique Yoda voice that may or may not sound less like Yoda and more like Stitch. Whatever. They learned it the hard way after hiring me.
You guys will decide.
You guys will decide. But this is what happened. So I got a text from a guy that I dated several months ago. And it just didn't work out. Right? Great guy. Awesome dude. Went to a great school.
Can we say the school?
Well, he went to I think he went to Harvard undergrad, Stanford Law School.
Like, I mean,
he was just really, really handsome. Super handsome, Jewish, which is not necessary for me, but does help with my my grandparents.
Yeah, I can see why you weren't feeling this guy. Definitely.
So funny. No, he was great. He just was like a friend. Like, he just felt like, and also my heart is
just
not
gave me
in
the
a
chills.
Good position. Why?
Because I'm like,
they just want me to, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but lovely guy. We stopped talking in January, okay? he texts me today at 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. 10 in the morning, I receive a text from him. So what's so 10 months, it's been 10 months since we've spoken. And the last text that he sent to me was asking me to hang, and I never responded. Not ghosting him, just like, we could tell, it had fizzled. Never hooked up with this guy, by the way. Never hooked up. Important to this next part of the story. Hey, Roxy, what's the latest? I know this is crazy, but I have a friend I think may be your soulmate. Friend of mine from business school. Lives in New York now, but is here a lot for work and wants to move. Mind if I intro you? And regardless, let's hang soon. 10 months it's been. And this
is from a human man?
This is from a very mature human man.
Never heard of this.
He is somebody I went on several dates with. Several. And no confusion about whether it was or not a date, even though we didn't hook up, because we met and he asked me on a, would you like to go on a date with me? We were not friends prior.
All right.
Trying to set me up with who might be my soulmate.
I love him.
I think this is so,
I love this.
So lovely.
This is great human interaction.
So kind. Hey, Roxy, exclamation point. Like, so lovely. Unless...
Uh-oh.
This is a Steph Sabra situation where he is somehow, some way upset with how I no response and is trying to set me up with a total troll. But I don't think so, right?
No, I'm going to be what I wish you were and be the light in this situation.
Yeah, sorry. I fucked
you. He is, I think, fully trying to set you up with someone he thinks could be your soulmate.
My soulmate.
For some reason, he knows enough about you and enough about this person to make that connection.
Several follow-ups for you. I mean, that would be amazing if that is true. Number one, I for sure go, right?
Yes.
Because he says he knows my soulmate.
Say yes to the dress.
Okay.
Wait. Go as in, like, find out more information, or go as in, like, automatically
commit?
He says,
mind if I intro you. I for sure get introed, right?
Are you ladies okay with just, like, a straight not knowing anything beforehand?
And going on a date?
Yeah, or, like, even, can I get a name? I want to look him up. No?
Well, here's the thing. He knows me, so I don't feel like he would send me somebody who would be... You mean, like, for attractive levelness? Like, physical appearance?
Physical, but also you can tell other things from people on their socials or online. Or being able to do some research before there's that introduction.
I agree if he had said, like, hey, I'd like to set you up. But he said, I think I found your soulmate. So I feel like nobody... You don't say that unless you're pretty confident that they're gonna vibe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. There's a distinction, and I think... a woman's intuition tells all. If your first instinct was, could they be a serial killer, then I'd be like, can I see his page?
My first instinct, because this guy was so nice.
Yeah.
And we met because we had a mutual friend. So I don't think, I don't know. But okay, next question for you guys. Is it weird to set somebody up that you had previously dated?
Not if you end on good terms.
Is this normal? Have you heard this before? You seem totally not taken aback by the fact that he did this.
No, do you then?
Would you set an ex up with somebody?
Yes.
What?
Here's the thing.
Remember, Michael wouldn't have slept with a person.
Okay, so yeah.
But you didn't either.
No, we did not hook up.
Yeah, there was nothing. So that's why I think
he did meet my sister, though. I will say that.
I haven't even met Sky, and we're, like, fully married.
True, but it was a happenstance. He didn't mean to meet her.
I just got really jealous.
How datey was it, and how friendy was it? Because that line really determines my conclusion.
So
here,
we went to dinner at least 3 times, just the two of us, in which he tried to pay for the bill.
And it ended on good terms, right? Like, it almost feels to me like you guys are compatible people who didn't quite work out but want the best for each other.
That's how I feel. And we follow each other on Instagram, and I've liked a bunch of his photos and, like, hardcore root for him. And if I saw him somewhere, would be like, hey, great to see you. But, you know, when you go on, like, 8 to 10 or whatever, you see somebody that many times and you never hook up, there's obviously...
How did it end?
It ended with him saying, hey, are you around tomorrow night? I have a big birthday on Saturday.
Wait, no, I mean, how did it end in January?
And I didn't respond. This is January.
Okay, got it. Oh.
Okay, here's my conclusion.
I had previously asked him what his weekend looked like. That, then he had said that.
And you didn't respond.
And I didn't respond. Yeah, but not... If he had texted me again, I probably would have. But it just was like...
You didn't care and you just missed the... You missed a few day period and you couldn't respond.
Yes.
I think this is the thing. I think the fact that he reached out is because he still see... Like, he, you guys are in enough connection for you not to completely lose sight of one another. So for him to say this means he actually really... Like, a lightning bolt struck him and was like, this person would really fucking vibe with rocks.
I got it.
Oh, God.
Not his idea.
The other guy's?
The other guy's idea. And he sent the text.
No one would do a selling point like that, though. If it...
And how would the other guy even know who I was then?
I'm sure he talked about you and, during that point.
He talked about me now?
I'm sure.
It's been 10 months.
You almost had a great idea, but logistically,
I don't think
so. No, and it could be enough time where the other guy says, did y'all do anything? No, you didn't? Sure. I'd love to. I think that'd be great.
Let me ask you another.
And you sell him on it, and then he sells himself.
Jeff, you agree?
Yeah, because I think what it could have been was other guy was seeing someone, is now not seeing someone and is single, and said, hey, what about, you know, I always thought she was cute. Yep. I'm single on the market now. Would it be weird? You know, that kind of thing.
I could see Jeff or myself doing that in our single days.
Yeah. I don't think a newly on the market person would ever say soulmate.
Right?
No, he did it. The friend. The friend is pitching you probably a little harder than maybe the other friend wanted.
But you think that there's a guy out there who's just seen me and he's calling himself my soulmate?
No, I think just... So person A and person B, person A you saw, person B's interested, person A's pushing a little harder than person B was, I think.
Oh, interesting. Another question for you guys, though. Friend lives, like I said in the text, in New York. That, I feel like, should be the bigger problem, right?
Wait, say that one more time? The
friend lives in New York.
The soulmate. Friend you're hooking up with?
The soulmate.
No, I'm not hooking up with anybody.
The friend who you were dating?
Remember it
no,
says
the new guy.
He lives in New York, but he's here a lot for work and wants to move.
Maybe he's here a lot.
I don't know.
I feel like that would be right up your alley because it wouldn't be like a full-time commitment.
That's
You'd be
true.
Like, okay,
that's
yeah,
totally
great.
My thing right now. All right, just wanted to run it by you guys.
I think the first time you guys meet should be in person, though.
As opposed to?
Texting. You know, if you're going to do an intro, I'd say, hey, let me know next time you're in L.A., and I'll grab a drink.
Oh, you think so? But how do we do that without texting?
Quick texting. Hey, would love to meet in person next time you're in L.A.
Oh, Jeff, I don't do that.
You don't do that.
No, I don't do the text back and forth a bajillion times before I meet somebody. It's why I'm not on any dating apps.
I get that.
That, like, flips me out.
Cut to the chase.
Well, if I've never met you, again, my brother and his wife met on J-Date, so I know it works for some people. For me, I'm slammed. I'm not... At what point, to somebody I have not met, am I texting back and forth?
I hate the small talk.
I can't. Yeah. Oh, God. Like, what do your parents do? Like, what?
Ugh.
That freaks me. Oh, no.
Why would you ask that question? Because then you find out about they make skin flags. That's why you ask that question.
Well,
you want to, in advance, you want to know this.
Oh,
by
yeah,
the way, turn back.
That cracks and burned fast.
Like 2 months. Go back into the archives. You'll find out what we're talking about.
Oh, I have another guy story I could tell you guys, but I'll wait till next week. Tune in. That's a tease.
Speaking of what people want to hear from you, we have a super chat from Matthew Gold who says, want to hear Roxy's Yoda voice.
Yeah.
Matthew Gold, great request.
I'll give you guys a sneak preview, but you have to promise you will watch the SJU video when it comes out. But... Okay, here's the deal. I'll do it for Matthew specifically because he's my channel mod, and I love Matthew.
Can you tell them what happened, though? Like, how you pitched yourself, kind of,
okay,
on this?
I am the voiceover artist. How pretentious is that?
I am.
I am the voiceover artist. I do the VO for a show on Screen Junkies called Power Levels. It's an animated show that is crushing right now.
So dope.
They just do an excellent job with it. But I'm the VO for it. And they, for the last episode, I won't say what's happening because I'm not allowed to. It won't air for a while. But there is a Yoda moment in it. Okay, and so they booked me for the whole series. So sometimes they have me do strange, like the last time they had me do a I'm Batman, right? They don't have to be good. They just, while I'm doing it, I just do like a crappy, but they figured I could at least be good enough. So in the directions, it just says in a Yoda voice, and then it gives a sentence. And I got to it, and I was like, uh-oh. Because I know this has come up before in my life. I think I do a great Yoda.
Oh.
I'm the only one who thinks that. And
it's Elaine dancing.
So I went for it, and they, like, dead stopped me. Okay. I guess that means I got to do it now. Do us do not. That is no try. Okay, so that's kind of what they did. So I'm telling you, I have a blind spot because I think I sound like a dead ringer.
Wait, to
like,
clarify, I can only see from the side. Are you pushing in on your vocal cords to make a better noise?
No, that was just my hand.
I just see you're just like,
believe you, I don't. Like that. So
that's like whatever, Kermit the Frog and that's Yoda.
That's what they kept saying. So they were trying to give me tips. We spent like 40 minutes on it. It didn't get much better. Spoiler.
Wait to see the final result.
So the biggest problem, Spenny G, Spencer Gilbert, who writes them, was telling me. He was like, listen, what you're doing with your throat is not what to do. Like, it's just a deeper voice. So then when I tried, it was like, duh, it got worse. I would say it got worse before it got better, but I think it just got worse. We'll see what take they ultimately end up using. You'll have to tune into the episode.
I think they're going to dub that one.
Yeah, it was brutal. Luckily, it was the last episode, so I could not get fired.
Rox, you have such clear expectations of your own talent. This is such a rare thing for you.
I feel like I am a very self-aware person, but at least I was aware enough to tell them that I know people don't think I do a good Yoda.
That doesn't count.
But no. But that's what I feel like he really does sound like. Do or do not.
Why so slow, though?
Oh, it's hard to produce. It's not as much a choice. Like, I could do it faster. Do or do not.
That wasn't faster. That was louder.
That was, yeah.
I do really. So this is what we did for an hour, basically, of them. Okay. It was fine. Whatever. I kill it. Fine. You're catfishing people, Steph. It's actually you. So,
that find me on Bumble, baby.
Michael.
I don't need that.
Yeah, you have like too many as it is.
No, I don't need this for my life.
Oh, yeah, girl. You do have too many as it is. Every person who comes on this show wants to date either Michael or Steph. Just
that didn't
Rogan
happen
was
last
hitting
week
on you last yeah week.
That was an on-air brief second. It was a brief on-air moment.
Can I be honest? Because can I say what I was texting you last? No, I have to say it.
What happened?
So last week,
who?
Ronan.
Rogan.
Rogan. He DM'd me and said after the show, because we knew they went out, so I suppose he was like pretty drunk. No, he said like, really nice meeting you, fire girl, or something with a kiss face.
She was in this.
And then, so I saw it, but I didn't reply. And then
he said, I thought he was into you because he said across the room you had said something that he was like, there she is. Like he was trying to get to you on the show.
And then an hour later, he unsent it.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
In what world or planet did you send this to Michael and not to me?
Because you said he followed you, or like he followed us.
Yes.
And I was like, LOL, I know.
Did he follow you? He followed me.
I
didn't look.
He followed everyone.
How do you guys know when he follows people? Do you like check your notifications?
No, he followed me and he followed
you. Yeah, I got a notification about it.
Oh, I have those off.
Oh.
Because your followers growing so much. It actually has been, though.
Yeah, it actually has been. That's
how many days left in the year?
We're on 289 today, so whatever 365 minus 289 is. He said 76 like he deserved credit for doing it that slowly.
That was very Rain
Man
of you.
What's slower, my Yoda? Is my Yoda voice slower or Michael trying to do that?
Objectively, your Yoda voice, right? And you know I love you, but it was very rough.
Has it gotten easier?
It was. It really was, Jeff.
It was very entertaining.
Oh.
Has it gotten easier?
Oh, man, guys. Oh, man.
Kevin's going to fire us all.
Well, here's what happened. My computer was muted until I just decided to, in the middle of the show, hit the mute button again. Like, why? Really, I was trying to put the brightness up, but I don't understand this fucking new computer yet, or the new update. My phone last night, it's a quick tangent before we get into news, my phone last night turned off in the middle of the night. And I woke up this morning, luckily, just because my body woke up, and I went to go check my phone, and it was off. So no alarm. Luckily, I wasn't late. Crazy, though.
That's the worst.
The worst. What?
Oh, I just have my phone underneath here.
Michael gives me weird looks.
That's because he's, like, secretly scrolling through Pornhub. And then he thinks you're catching him.
Why am I seeing
Michael,
Steph on this one, too?
True or false, Michael, you've ever seen porn? On accident or on purpose?
Yes, I have.
Ooh.
Guy, not, guy. Like, intentional, but... Yes.
Huh. Just wanted to know.
There's a lot out there.
Just
so.
Checking in.
Just checking in. Also, I'm really excited because I finally just got internet back on my computer because it's been off this whole time. And now I have access to the live chat. Sup, bitches in here. By the way, while you guys are in here, don't forget to give us that thumbs up. If you're listening on iTunes, we appreciate 5 stars. Write a comment. Maybe we should read some comments next week from you guys. If you write a comment this week, we'll read it next week. Also, subscribe to Not Sam and tweet at us and Instagram at The Tomorrow Show. Someone what, Michael?
Someone was asking what type of feller is your fave. I don't know what that...
You don't get what that means?
No, I know
like,
it.
Like, what's your favorite kind of feller?
Yeah, feller. I've heard fella. Feller.
Why don't you make fun of our guests some more, Michael?
No. I'm open to learning.
Oh, God. I made the joke, and then I looked at Jeff, and he wasn't even smiling. And I looked at Steph, and she wasn't even paying attention. And I was like, I failed on that one. I really don't have a physical type. I was very upset today because of my other job. Omar Epps came in, who was my absolute dreamboat as a kid because I was obsessed with Love and Basketball. Did you watch that when you were younger?
Many times.
He just was like so sexy.
100%.
So sexy. And he came in and I guess there was a communication error and my show passed on him when we did not mean to pass on him and he went to another show. So I did not get to meet him and I was crushed. Crushed. Oh, I love
him. That's really sad.
That doesn't mean he's my dream guy, though, although he is. I think my dream guy is somebody who is cool with how much I'm working.
Yep.
But also is working in his own way. Somebody who's passionate. Loyal is number one for me. I couldn't be with somebody who's not loyal. That would, like, flip me out. I know that some people have ones that they care about more. I don't need somebody who's particularly nice. Or, well, it's just not what I care about. I don't care
when
about...
When you say it like that, it just does sound...
Look, there's certain things that don't bother me, right? Like, you get to only have a few things that bother you. Like, I don't mind annoying people, and I don't mind ruder people. Those are just not ones that particularly bother me. If you get to pick all the things, then maybe, but... Yeah, and obviously I want to be attracted to them, but I'm attracted to all different kinds of people, so it's hard to, like, nail down what that is.
Do you find the attraction grows, or are you ever, like, an immediate attraction? Have you ever been an immediate attraction person?
No, I'm really not an immediate attraction person. I'm trying to think if I... Well, like Omar Epps, I was immediately attracted to him in Love and Basketball, but, like... I don't know. I don't have a physical type. Like, Steph and I were talking about this the other day. I don't really have, like, a height or a race or anything like that I care about. But I do... I don't like somebody too skinny, actually. That's one for me. I don't like to feel fat. That's a self-conscious thing. But, like, somebody's more slender than I am. Like, I remember growing up, my brother weighed less than I did. Not that I was going to have an attraction to my brother, but it always made me so self-conscious because he was the guy, and that I really didn't like.
Dad bod?
I don't mind a dad bod. I mind a dad bod if they're not taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
I don't mind a dad bod if they are. So, like, I don't want somebody who is going to, you know, not go on a hike with me or anything like that. But, no, some people just have dad bods because they're not spending all their time in the gym, and that's fine. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Really, for me, it's about, like, loyalty, which I think out in Los Angeles is the number one hardest thing to find. So, yeah. I don't know why. What's yours?
I don't know if I've ever had a specific type. Yeah, because I've dated around and, like, I guess not one specifically sticks out. Probably not redheads. Never dated a redhead. But I've dated a brunette, a blonde, and obviously now not Hannah, is black. And
whatever you're doing now,
do you know that you,
is the golden, like, ticket.
Yeah, totally. She's the hottest person on the planet. Did you say block?
Black.
Oh, it sounded like you said black. You know, she's black. I was like, this is the new woke way of saying me. It. Is this the first time you've dated somebody who's black?
I've gone on a couple dates with someone else.
So your first black girlfriend.
But yes, first black girlfriend.
Steph, what about you? Type? And why did you just look like...
I'll tell you guys later.
Oh, we know Steph's type.
No, I just got a reply to a story that has to do with the catfishing and has to do with someone that was spoken about in this episode. But
Wait, what?
I don't know what's happening.
Wait, can you gotta give something?
I'll send a picture.
You don't have to give something.
Okay, thanks.
I'm scared.
Me too.
you're more shook than in Maleficent.
I can go to Jeff first.
Okay, my type. I don't really have a specific type. I think loyalty is huge for me because I just think if you're a liar, then you don't like yourself and it bleeds into every aspect and it's the most unattractive thing ever. I think I don't like too pretty. It's never been my thing.
Like taking too much time on themselves to get ready or pretty like looking?
Yeah, like too pretty looking and focused on their looks. Like you can tell they milk that.
You know, it's so crazy. I used to always say I don't really like pretty either, but then I dated Ben forever. And
yeah.
He was like the prettiest person.
Yeah,
So
the prettiest.
Yeah, that's like what he... Are you making a joke or are you...
I mean, he's good looking, but...
His type of good looking is pretty. Like, that's... You know what I'm saying?
Pretty
boy. I don't think Steph's saying she doesn't like good looking people. You're saying you specifically don't go for pretty people. She has no idea what I just said.
Yeah,
Steph
does not
know how to multitask.
I don't go for pretty people.
Terrible.
I don't go for pretty people, and I don't go for really skinny either. I don't like... I just don't like that personally, but...
Jeff, who has a wife.
I don't really...
Jeff, what was your type pre-wife?
I've dated three people. One of them I married, so I haven't dated much, but all of them were pretty funny. I will say I really like outgoing and funny, and I find unfunny people boring, personally. I can't... It's like, if I'm going to be spending this much time with you, you have to have a good sense of humor, especially because I think a good sense of humor is a nice quality in a relationship because it helps you laugh at fighting.
That's so different than funny, though.
Yeah, you're right. I like both.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, like, having a good sense of humor, not taking yourself too seriously. I don't like people who take themselves and life very seriously.
Interesting.
There's not enough time.
All interesting things. Let's get to some news.
All righty. We're just jumping right in. Jeff, you got that music ready to go?
It's coming.
Well, as we talk about great relationships, maybe we'll start off the news with one that's not going so great right now. That's between Jeremy Renner and his ex-wife, Sony Pacheco. And there is a lot of information going out right now about this. Really started 2 days ago when TMZ reported that Sonny said that the Avengers actor tried to kill her and kind of was dealing with a custody battle over their daughter, Ava. There was a lot of text exchange, and I know Roxy and Steph have read those texts.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of coming out in those texts where it might not be looking the most credible. He said today that he claims that she sent nudes to their custody evaluator in order to embarrass him. What do the texts say?
The texts have nothing to do with the accusations,
totally.
Which is the confusing part. So the accusation is that he... First, oh my God, I don't know how Kevin does it with this music. That he first was really strung out on drugs, put a gun in his mouth, then turned the gun on his wife and threatened to harm their child. Those were the accusations. The texts have absolutely nothing to do with it. And also, I believe, based off the fact that today I think that their child that they have joint custody of is 6, the texts mention the daughter being 2. So I believe the texts are from 4 years ago.
Wow.
They have, like, seriously nothing to do with it. I think what she was trying to prove is that he is crazy. I would have to assume that that was the intention. The texts do not prove that to me. What they say is a couple fighting. She's saying, you have my and my daughter's passport, and I can't find them, and I think you have them. And he's saying, I do not have them. She's saying that I need to file a police report. He's saying, don't do that. I believe they're safe. She's saying, I need those passports. Give me my stuff back. And they're calling each other, like, they're throwing out mean words, both sides, neither of them being particularly nice. She also released the text messages we can't see the whole conversation. So she cut out pieces that we just aren't aware of.
There's talk of, like, a negotiation in here. Like, these are my terms. Yes. We can negotiate.
But he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't learn exactly what that is. And then that's kind of what the texts were. Steph, did you get a different impression?
No, I got that exactly. I read it as he's gaslighting her. She's volatile.
Yeah.
In these text messages, they were both kind of in the wrong. This is what I always tell people. When you get to a certain point, when you start name calling in a relationship, you're over. You're done because you can't even communicate, and that's what happened. They're both horrible to each other, and they have their daughter in the picture now. But exactly what you said, nothing to do with the accusations at hand. So why were those released? It seems like a desperate kind of pull to be like, look.
What she has said she wants is sole custody of the daughter. So this to that must mean she's trying to prove that he's an unfit father. Yeah. But this has nothing to do with the gun situation, in which I have not seen any evidence for, and also feel slightly conflicted on, because say he did do that. Say he was 4 years ago, or however many years ago, high on drugs, and say he did have a gun, and say he did put it in his mouth, and say he did point it at her, and say he did say something about the daughter, not exactly clear what. And that was 4 years ago.
He calls her bipolar in here as well.
And she says that there's bipolar on his side of the family. He says there's bipolar disorder on her side of the family. She says agreed that it's on both sides of the family. If that did happen, what's happened since? Is he sober? Has he gotten treatment? I don't even know if that's what actually happened, but if it was, do we think he should lose custody of his daughter? Does one correlate to the next?
If all those things happened
4 years ago, should he automatically today lose custody of his child?
Not automatically. It definitely depends what he's been doing. If he did all those things, but let's say he went to therapy, got sober, and all of these things, did all the right things, then no. Because that's how it would be in the court of law as well.
So I'm just, if he's been messing up recently, I'm confused why we had to release things from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what I'm questioning. And also, she seems just as hate-filled as he seemed in the text messages. So ugly.
The whole thing
is so gross. I don't want to know, and I don't feel like we should know any of this. This is not and a lot of people were calling this Jeremy's Me Too situation, which this is actually in no case that. So, the whole thing. And I don't know, his reps said that this was a dramatized version of events that never actually took place. Who knows if that's true? I don't know.
Really ugly.
Yeah, really gross.
I'm wondering, in a situation like this, especially from a woman perspective, does this impact you go seeing one of his movies?
Well, right now he's slated to be on a TV show, for the Hawkeye series, And I think that what I'm impressed with Disney, at least for the best of my knowledge, is that they did not pull a James Gunn with this situation, and they did not immediately fire him. I probably think that they're going to launch an independent investigation of their own. And if this is proven to be true, and if he does have issues, and if he is threatening violence towards his ex-wife or his daughter, and Disney does find that out, I don't think there will be a show of his to see, because I don't think that they would then produce the show.
So here's another question. Do we think any of the Marvel stars are almost untouchable at this point? And I say that, obviously, with the Jeremy Renner situation, and then with the Scarlett Johansson situation as well, where she's not hurting for work, and yes, there was backlash over her comments and the roles and stuff, but it was never career-ending. Do we think...
Are you talking about with the transgender role that she
transgender role, and
all the Asian roles she's playing.
Yeah, the other Asian and that stuff like that, where she's had negative publicity, but nothing is ever... taken them down.
I mean, I think that's just almost such a different situation than the people who have been, like, taken down in that sense. I mean, James Franco's still on TV every week. So, some people seem to be in the news constantly, and unless you're a Kevin Spacey or Harvey Weinstein or anybody who has actually been taken away from the entertainment industry, I don't think it's just her. But, no, I super don't think that anybody's exempt. I don't think anybody's exempt right now. There are still names that I think are bound to drop, people who I've heard things about that I'm like, I can't believe that hasn't come out yet. I think some people have better publicists.
Woody Allen's in production for another movie. It's getting released in Spain. But.
And Bryan Singer managed to get hired. He ended up getting taken off Red Sonja, but he managed to get hired on Red Sonja even after all of those allegations. So, yeah. And Woody Allen's situation is really unique as well. And not the same as a Harvey Weinstein. Although I frankly can't watch his movies anymore. So I think that there's definitely levels to this, and it's a nuanced situation. Louis C.K. starting to work again as well. A lot of people not wanting to see him. But I don't know with Jeremy Renner. I think it's not even in the same conversation, because A, we have no idea what happened, and B, he's not being accused of sexual assault, and C, the seemingly took place years ago.
Am I right in seeing that these texts were released on printed pieces of paper too?
Yes.
That doesn't seem like a big deal, but something about that feels weird to me too. I don't know why. That was my knee jerk.
I don't know.
I'm just so used to seeing screenshots. I don't know. It feels a little manipulated.
The whole thing is bizarre.
It's bizarre.
Bizarre.
And Rox and I go back and forth with this all the time, where we're full on, like,
believe women,
mm-hmm. believe victims. I think with serious accusations, you do need to, if you're going to come public with serious accusations, you need to also come public with serious evidence.
I was confused on the so she came public with the accusation, right?
You can't say that.
Yes, I can't even, but a Kavanaugh. Verbal of, yeah, that was a verbal story where
Who'd
she had proof of
say?
Her site of her therapy sessions, Kavanaugh and Dr. Blasey Ford.
Yeah, but there was no evidence.
I think there's evidence is in the time speaking to her husband, to her therapist, and to many of her friends about what had happened. That's not court of law evidence. To me, that's enough evidence for me to really listen and hear you out.
So with this situation, I'm with you, Steph, but with this situation, what was confusing to me is she did come forward with accusations, and she did come forward with evidence, but the evidence did not in any way, shape, or form support her accusations. And that's what I was confused on, what her evidence was trying to support.
Totally.
She was just trying to show that he's not
an ugly side.
Right. So it didn't have to, like, whether or not you believe that that is evidence, what Steph was just talking about, at least it was supporting the claim she was making.
Yeah.
It all was in the same field. This has nothing to do with it. So I don't get why, and it's TMZ, so they do things like this, but I don't understand why we're reading this.
It'd be one thing, I would listen to her more if she came out with a video speaking from the heart about what happened, but instead she put, like you said, put text messages that just showed really ugly side of both of them.
Both of them. Her equally, I thought. Ugh. I feel really bad for their daughter.
Me too.
I'm sure all the parents and the schools and everything, like, ugh. Gross. Michael?
Well, the next story?
Yes.
Yeah, the next story is almost, you know, disturbing details, and I would... Ooh, interesting. Yes. Going on with Cuba Gooding Jr., who is someone who has, I think, really been affected by this, has not majorly worked or done any projects. He's been accused by 14 women of alleged sexual misconduct, and he's facing various charges because of that in court. There was a court hearing yesterday, and they said that what he once told a female stranger was that he wanted her to sit on his face and pee in his mouth.
Michael, is your shock because you can't imagine anybody saying that, or him, or what's going on?
I think
with your face right now.
I think it's I not that I can't imagine anyone not saying that, but it's just you're so weird to think of these people that are. I mean, Cuba Gooding never played like a crazy role. He was always just like a high standard role. I feel. And then to hear this is just...
It's kind of nuts in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, but also that's all acting. To me, I mean, I've heard stories about him for years.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, yes. But you never know in Hollywood. Like, you hear stories about a lot of people. There's still tons of people that whose names I don't share because it's all stories. I don't know. This one... to me was super not surprising, and I'm also not surprised that somebody who has 14 accusers of alleged sexual misconduct would like sexual proclivities like getting pissed in your mouth. Usually those things are one and the same. Like, if you like to do things that feel like you're a massive celebrity, you've been a celebrity for so many years, you're really wealthy, you're above the law, you feel like you're on cloud nine, you can touch whoever you want, you've had everything you want, he's probably slept with willingly hundreds of women, if that's his MO, so what do you do next? You start to do some weird shit. And I guess one of those things is wanting women to sit on your face and piss in your mouth. Like, for me, under no circumstances would I think that that was sexy. But I understand why these crazy, crazy rich men or famous men or men who have literally had any and everything they've ever wanted start to turn to some weird-ass stuff just to see what they can get. Like, we had a really rich kid in our high school who had his girlfriend dump on his chest, and we all found out about it. It was fucking weird.
Wait, didn't he call the hot Carl?
I don't know.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So I just...
And he was turned on by it?
No. But he like
he just wanted to like.
What can I do? What can I do? I can buy anything I want.
Shit on
my
chest.
I can do anything I want. I can have any girl I want. What can I do?
What's been the weirdest request ever made?
Buy me or to me.
To?
Not that weird. Nothing that crazy.
I mean, I've had like disgusting people who follow me say ask for really weird things, but like that a guy that I was actually with. Nothing. I've never slept with somebody I didn't know. So, you know, usually that doesn't come with that.
Yeah.
So I really can't think of anything. Definitely have never pissed in anybody. We used to actually, I won't say who, but there was a host on this show for a while who her and her boyfriend used to piss on each other. That is true. And we've had like 20 hosts on this show before, maybe even more with our guest hosts and stuff, so I don't feel bad saying that, but... Yeah, they used to pee on each other.
Like on the leg or like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, why?
I asked that. She said, like, I don't know how to describe it. He asked for it once and we both kind of liked it.
There you go.
She said it's
nice, nice and warm.
This actual next story sticks warm. Along the same vein, but I think it will have a little more
warm
discussion.
Warm us up, Mike.
Your nice pissy words.
Getting warmed up. The first one stung a little bit like a jellyfish, then we pissed on it. Now we're getting into this next story, talking about Pharrell, and we're blurring the lines here, and talking about...
How long has he been waiting to do that?
I literally just came up with that. Come on.
No way. He had
Give
it
me
written
some credit
down.
Here.
He planned it.
So the Pharrell was a writer behind the hit song Blurred Lines with Robin Thicke, and he's now kind of confronting the controversy that surrounded it when it came out, because the line was in there where I know you want it, and some people said that's kind of rapey. And he had originally said, what's rapey about that? And then he says, quote, and then I realize that there are men who use that same language when taking advantage of women, and it doesn't matter that it's not my behavior or the way I think about things. It just matters how it affects women.
Also, blurred lines. I mean, just the title alone. There are so many songs like this. But I don't think that that's how he intended it. And I thought that this song was badass at the time. And fun, had a great beat. But if people out there take that as an excuse to sexually assault people, then I think they would have found a different reason to anyway. Like, I don't know if there's anybody out there that hears a Pharrell song and is like, prior to this, I was not going to sexually assault somebody. But after hearing this...
Now. Really fired me up.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that there's so many songs like this in every single genre.
But
that,
but should those songs, should we monitor those songs or try to rid those?
Nope.
You don't think they've had any effect?
Nope. I don't think so. I think music is art and you can choose not to listen to it. It's the artist's expression. The radios could decide not to play it. What I will say, I think what's cool about the story is that Pharrell, whether or not he intended good or bad, I think it's cool when someone's like, I don't need my ego to defend this any longer. Like, I think it's cool that he's like, if this is how you guys take it, I'm in support.
Michael, let me ask you this, because I remember a few months ago we were talking about Baby It's Cold Outside, and you were like, I don't think this is crazy. Really can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
I ought to say no. Like, that was your take, was this is crazy. I don't feel like that's any less rapey than Blurred Lines, I Know You Want It. I feel like they're kind of equal.
What do you mean crazy? Crazy in that?
It's interesting because I can tell that Michael thinks that there obviously is a correlation, or at least we should be monitoring in some way language like this, but he doesn't have an issue with something like Baby, It's Cold Outside. Am I accurate there?
Yes, and I think the difference is, A, the timing of it. I think culture was more innocent back then versus when this song came out. Also, the major intent, we know more behind this video.
Wait, let me ask you, going back to the first one.
Because of the video that was released with it.
Going back to the first one, though, they both have videos in them. But going back to your first part about culture, so you think that there was less sexual assault then than now, or you think there was less reported sexual assault?
I think culture was more innocent, and yes, there was, I'd say, both.
What do you think, Steph?
I think there was equal sexual assault as there is now. I think since the beginning of time, there's been sexual assault and rape. I think that in terms of music, I don't know if the writers...
I think the writers of that song have...
had innocent intents, and this was obviously sexually charged, but still innocent, just more sexual.
Yes. Yeah. And the music video, I'm saying, for Blurred Lines, Baby It's Cold Outside didn't have a music video, did it?
Yeah, I think so.
What's in the 1940s? They had music videos?
I think that there was like a...
Or a live performance.
Something like that went along with the... Or at least later on, a live Christmas show or something. Yeah, I don't know. I remember seeing some kind of video when all this stuff was coming out.
Me too.
It was like a guy and a girl. They looked old school. I don't know enough to know.
It debuted in a film is actually what it is.
Oh, that's what it was.
And Neptune's Daughter.
Oh.
One of my favorites.
Like, what do you guys think? I just Googled most rapey songs, okay? So, number one on the list is Baby, It's Cold Outside. Number two is Blurred Lines. The next one is Blame It on the Alcohol, Jamie Foxx. Do you guys remember that song?
Oh, yeah. That's probably the worst, I would say.
Well,
that's a bad one.
To me, the next one is What Do You Mean, Justin Bieber. What do you mean when you nod your head yes, but you want to say no? What do you mean? And people went fine for it, like apeshit over that song. Hey Jealousy by Gin Blossoms.
Don't know that
one. It might be also that the, you know, rap.
You don't remember that? Tell me, do you think it'd be all right? No? You missed a lot of 90s stuff.
Yeah. I was sleeping.
So it's Tell Me, Do You Think It'd Be All Right If I Could Just Crash Here Tonight. You can see I'm in no shape for driving, and anyway, I've got no place to go. And you know, it might not be so that bad. You Were the Best I Ever Had. Yeah, just interesting looking at some of these lyrics and people now figuring out, like, using their personal gauge. Is that one rapey? Is that one not? Is that one okay? Is that one not? To me, the songs that I love, that I'm the most upset about because I love them, are Eminem songs. Like, all the shit that he sings about Kim. Have you guys ever listened to those lyrics about the abuse of... I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, those songs are nuts. I know every word to them. And
but they were probably like a young kid just like going.
Yeah,
like,
but should... I mean, but
about the, like beating the shit out of women. And so, I like would fucking rock out to them. And I love Eminem's music.
And yet you don't think that that has an impact on like young kids and the way that they're raised and them thinking that it's possibly okay and encouraging them and sending them down that path?
I don't know. I think that when you have a musical artist who that's their thing, maybe... I don't think, like, Robin Thicke and Pharrell are specifically known for that. I don't think that Frank Loesser, is that how you say Baby It's Cold Outside singer, was known for that. I think that Eminem, for sure, it constantly sings about assault. All the time. So
should we hold him to a higher standard?
How? By what?
Culture.
But what do you mean?
By
music?
By having more backlash. Culturally, socially.
I don't think he gives a living. I don't think he gives a shit about
that. I'm not saying he could give, but I'm saying, is this something that culture should stand up and say we shouldn't allow? Like,
there's
an issue.
What do you mean? Like, on Twitter?
How'd the Me Too movement start?
Twitter.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Articles.
Yes. So yes.
So you mean should we try to ostracize him from singing by
singing about that? Yes.
No, I don't think so. You do?
It's the blurred line. It's the blurred line of, like, how do you, you know, I totally agree that, you know, as Steph said, it's art, but art still inspires. And it could definitely inspire the wrong thing, and that, I think, is a cultural thing where we have to look at it and say, is this worth it?
Mike,
this,
I'm shocked right now.
Yeah.
I would think you would be the most anti-cancel culture.
Yeah.
Most
no, okay.
PC,
and I,
anti-PC. Like,
I would think so, too.
This is an argument often on the right side, though, when it comes to...
Gun control.
Yeah, there's a huge hypocrisy in terms of we will defend the Second Amendment, we will defend all the amendments, we will defend freedom of speech, and that's why they hate cancel culture. But then when it has to do with pop culture or oftentimes black culture, this is not in the case of you right now, all of a sudden, or video games, that's what they're blaming.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in freedom of speech, so when we start doing this, and my dad always warns against this, once you start, like, tapping away at that, there's a point of no return, and then you become a completely controlled dictatorship.
I think the way I look at it is, I want equal treatment. And maybe it sounds more of like I'm pushing this one side. I say if you're going to try to do this one thing, you also have to put an equal emphasis on, yes, this could be. Again, I look at, like, it's not to get political, but like looking at gun control, absolutely, I think there should be background check, everything else. In addition, I also think that there should be things where we look at media, we look at movies, we look at songs, we look at that kind of culture and say, that also is having an impact. Let's dial it down
but
from both
things. But the impact
is,
one is a half a second shot can end a life, and the other is a song that
could
influence.
You're looking at result, not impact. They technically are two different
things.
Wrong! They technically are two different things.
I don't like when you do that, and you often do it. Do you know that? Wrong!
I mean, yes.
Wrong!
How can you not look at resolve via or in?
It's there. It's like one's a rectangle, one's a square. The square is technically a rectangle.
A rectangle is not necessarily a square.
But here's what I'm curious about. Like, I'm all about studies. I support think tanks that look into results like this and publish studies. But do you really think there should be censorship? I'm like so shocked right now.
No. I'm not talking like government censorship. I'm saying culture, yes.
What do you think JC thinks?
Culture, yes. What do you... Sorry, I'm just like so
I think there should be cultural
well, that's a result,
pressure.
Not a implication, Jeff.
I think there should be cultural pressure.
So this is what you do sometimes in arguments. You will use terms. Explain what you mean.
cultural pressure of, like, I'm not saying there should be censorship, like the the government communication wing saying you can't make this music. But I would hope there would be cultural pressure to say this is not appropriate.
Do you think there's not?
We'll support something better.
Isn't that what
this is? Like the Parents Television Council, for example. They every week say South Park should be canceled. I mean, that exists, right? That's a free country allows support groups and lobbyists to...
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not calling for banning it. I'm just saying, you know, as a culture that talks so much about what is, you know, good and bad and where we throw our money and support, and, you know, we condemn people every single week. I'm not saying that it's always accurate. And that people should necessarily be...
You should not!
But having maybe a little more uproar and saying, yeah, this is probably not appropriate, whereas, you know, right now there's nothing.
I think that there's a ton. That's why somebody asked the question that he answered.
Yeah, but 5 years later.
I think he was getting a lot of hit for it.
Not enough to not make it, like, one of the top three songs in the country.
Yeah, but that's not what you're asking for. You're asking for cultural pressure.
And there wasn't enough cultural pressure.
There's a lot of cultural pressure about gun control and not enough to keep our kids safe. Action, consequence.
But that's more but that's mainstream. None of this pressure was mainstream.
Huh?
There's still cultural pressure mainstream on gun control. It's why Dick's Sporting Goods destroyed $5 million in guns. Walmart has pulled guns,
I think there's
magazines.
Cultural pressure on mainstream on video games, for sure. It's in the news every single day.
But nobody's stopping.
That's not pressure, though. You're talking about cultural pressure as opposed to action?
Yeah, but if there's enough pressure, then action actually eventually happens.
I don't think so, because I don't think that we've... I mean, if you take the gun control example again...
Walmart has pulled guns off the shelves, pulled magazines off the shelves.
So, that's what you're considering something actually happening?
I call it action. Yeah, that's action.
But that's not what people are asking for.
That's part of what people are asking for. Making less available.
It is fascinating, Jeff. You're right. Because I'm surprised with you on this one. Not surprised with you, like, agree or disagree. Just wouldn't think you would have this opinion.
I see it more of a middle thing, and sometimes when I, you know, press one way, it might seem that I'm pressing more the one direction, but I look at things equally and say, okay, how do we take...
You think you look at things equally?
Yeah.
Do you think you look at things equally?
It depends.
Jeff, do you think you look at things equally?
I don't know. I think I love playing devil's advocate, and again... I try to. I don't know.
I get really caught up in, like, if there's human emotion involved. That's where I start to...
I don't like discussions without solutions. And that's why, like, I'm just trying to pinpoint, Mike, what you're pitching.
I'm calling for more... Maybe it's...
You want more traditional views on culture. You're asking more people to be more conservative.
I'm asking for musicians and people to accept responsibility and say, listen, yeah, it might not, but I'm going to take the precaution not to anyways. To do the thing that Dick's Sporting Goods, to do the thing that Walmart is doing where you're pulling certain weapons or you're raising the age from 18 to 21, you're taking that action. And I don't think...
Don't you think that's what Pharrell just did?
5 years later,
how
after
long have you been after gun control, man? Way longer than that.
I get it, but I'm saying how many years later, and he's one artist, there's how many artists still making... a good example on this. I forget who the... Was it Gina Rodriguez the other day?
Yes.
Who got in trouble
for saying
the N-word while singing a song that had it in a lyric.
Right.
If you don't want people to say it, don't put it in a lyric.
Nope.
Do you not want people to sing along to your lyric?
Yeah.
Then why are you making the music?
Because it's their music.
It's not for you.
I listen to rap every single day, multiple hours a day.
That's where I disagree on that.
I've never in my life...
I think you should own that responsibility of you're continuing to put the N-word out there, so what do you think people are going to do, not say it? You're putting it out there.
But you don't have a word, Michael, so I don't think you really could get this one.
Personally, I think the N-word has changed in... I know that's a very controversial thing. But I think the definition of the N-word has changed over time with the new culture because they've changed it successfully.
I get that. I just think it's...
So I think it's a challenge of, like, you want it gone.
It depends on who's using it.
Yeah. I just think they're, and I've said this before, when you're not the person or the group that is most implicated by an issue and has been for centuries, we don't get to make the rules. They get to make the rules on their words. And I think if it's the one thing black people have asked, what,
I'm
why
not
are we
specifically
arguing?
Targeting that? I'm using it as an example.
Yeah.
The only thing I feel confident in is that two white guys, a white girl, and a Japanese woman should be having this conversation. It's the only thing I feel sure about, that we should make the rules on this one.
That we don't get to, like, I just don't think Gina Rodriguez, I mean, Gina Rodriguez got in trouble because she continues to do this bobbing of dipping into other people's cultures.
And also, the other thing I'm clear on is, remember that Wovicki is right about everything. 100%. So those are the things that we can be sure about. Absolutely. Michael, do you have any more news for us?
I mean, oof. We do. I do. We talked about this before because it just broke earlier today with Jonah Hill no longer interested in the Batman role. And that, I feel like, maybe it's just the media age that we live in, where things get reported and people automatically think that it's going to happen. Oh, this person's in talks. Okay, it's basically guaranteed.
So that's exactly the thing, Michael. So he was reported in talks.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, typically by the time it gets to in talks, we end up hearing within a few days was cast.
Yes.
So people see in talks and assume was cast, which gets them in trouble all the time because in talks does not actually mean that. But by the time like a Variety, THR, any of those major companies is posting in talks, usually that means they're dotting their T's, they're crossing their I's, mm-hmm. they're signing their stuff. Now, what was reported previously, the first thing that happened was people said that Jonah Hill was going to be the Penguin in Matt Reeves' The Batman movie. This is supposedly a standalone movie that is starring Robert Pattinson and now Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, Robert Pattinson as Batman.
Having
nothing to do with the Joker movie that just came out, and possibly having nothing to do with anything that we've seen with the DCEU, that's including Shazam, Aquaman, Justice League, BVS, etc. So this, as of now, is this Matt Reeves standalone project. Jonah Hill was in talks for it. They said that he was in talks to play Penguin. Then it was quickly corrected that he actually was in talks to play Riddler, which people were surprised but happy about, mostly, because Penguin seems like a more casting stereotype of who Jonah Hill used to be, as opposed to Riddler, who is more similar to his current roles, like more Wolf of Wall Street type Jonah Hill.
Totally.
So people were more excited about that. Then this week it also came out that because of Joker's massive success, I mean, box office, it's crushing right now, DC might be leaning towards doing more villain standalone movies, and one of those movies on that list is The Riddler. Mr. Freeze is also on there, and several others. So people were talking about, ooh, what if Jonah Hill was doing a standalone Mr. Freeze movie? Now, and catch me if I'm going too deep into this and you guys
nope.
are... Okay, so one of the things that we know from DC is that you can have multiple of the same characters in the same time played by different actors. For example, the Joker, played by Jared Leto, is alive and well in the universe at the same time as Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker. So people were saying, okay, we could have Jonah Hill in the Batman movie as the Riddler, and we could have a Riddler standalone movie with a different actor in back-to-back years. So that's where people started to get a little confused. Which one is he in talks for, or what's happening here? Then there was another rumor that Jonah Hill was asking for $10 million for this role, which was twice the amount. Some people said he might even be asking for more than that, as Robert Pattinson is getting for actually playing Batman. And is Jonah Hill overhyping himself? Is he worth that, etc.? Now,
damn.
Today, hearing that he probably, or that he's passed on this role, so most people assuming that that's a financial thing. I'm curious if DC has different plans for him, if he is in talks instead for a standalone movie, or if there is something else bigger going on, because I feel like DC is on this Jonah Hill train. Warner Brothers is on this Jonah Hill train. They want him involved. The public reaction was so positive to him as
yes.
Riddler. And I don't know. I would be surprised for the Batman movie. Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe there's too many issues with him not getting enough screen time compared, or money and all that. But maybe a standalone, or maybe a different role or a different movie. But I would be shocked if we don't see Jonah Hill in the DC universe pretty soon. Steph, how are you feeling about all of this?
I think that I thought it was really interesting in terms of characterizing him in each villain. I think Riddler would be a way better fit, judging his most recent work, especially if you guys have seen Maniac on Netflix. I can totally see him embodying a twisted character. I agree with you, Roxy. I think that they're not going to drop him from the DC because of everything is run by fans. And I think if fans had a positive reception, especially in the comic book world, then they would totally buy into that. So maybe it is a feature film as opposed to a character, a side part.
What do you think, Michael? Do you care about any of this in any way?
I do, because I actually like Jonah Hill as an actor. So if I was going to go see the movie Batman, Robert Pattinson, I have no preference, yes or no. Same with Zoe Kravitz. Yeah, indifferent on Zoe Kravitz.
Wow, you're indifferent on Zoe Kravitz?
I like her.
The hottest woman on the planet.
No, like, okay, not Hannah is the hottest woman on the planet. That's, thank you very much. And
fair. No, I think second she's hottest woman on the
she's
planet?
She's incredibly talented, but she doesn't move the needle for me of like, oh yeah, I'm going to go see a movie because of her. Or like, that's someone who I have liked previous work. Probably because I'm just not familiar with enough of her previous work. And so I look at Jonah Hill and I say, yeah, he seems like a comical guy. He would be maybe that extra piece that I would go see it.
Jeff, any thoughts on this at all?
I'm weird because I rarely care about casting. When I go see a movie, I'm looking for a well-written, well-directed film. And there's really no actors that tip the scale for me.
But you do care about performance.
Yeah, I do. But I think a lot of actors can turn in surprising performances. And maybe Melissa McCarthy. I like very reliably like what she does in movies. But other than that, I think a lot of actors can turn in great performances if there's a great script and a great director, personally.
So you never get too attached to anybody.
No. Or I'm not going to go see a movie because someone's in it. That's just not me.
That's
Robert
really
Pattinson, Pattinson is who turned it around for me, because I have not liked...
really?
I didn't like
Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck as Batman
you
at
like
all.
You like Christian Bale?
Yes, of course. But
I haven't met somebody who didn't.
Yeah. And so if you saw Robert in Good Time, he's excellent. He totally wiped the slate of what people thought of with Twilight. If you see this, I swear you'll be totally buy into
that. But I'm hearing about The Lighthouse too, which I think comes on limited release this weekend. Jeff, did you see that movie? Is that what you're nodding?
I'm hearing the same things about The Lighthouse. The trailer is incredible.
I also think that Matt Reeves is doing some ballsy casting. Casting Robert Pattinson as Batman is ballsy.
Yep.
Zoe Kravitz, I think, is the spot-on perfect pick for Catwoman. I could not have designed a better Catwoman.
Excited.
She's literally perfect. So I'm trusting in Matt Reeves that if he let Jonah Hill go, then, and that's actually what happened, then either he has a plan or it wasn't right. Because I don't feel like if Jonah Hill was asking for $10 million... and that was the only thing going on, I kind of think the studio would have just given it to him. They just made so much money off this Joker movie. That's, and the Batman movie is probably going to make an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised.
And $10 million is not an insane request if he's the main villain in it.
That's
but
why
I don't
I was
know
surprised
if he
about
is.
Pattinson only getting five.
I think that a lot of times they will... First of all, I think Pattinson would have paid to be in this movie. He's been trying to plan his whole career off of trying to get to this movie. Like, he has made every step to try to get to this place and finally has.
It's huge.
And he knows they could have gone with a bajillion other actors. Yeah. He also was clearly down to the wire as Nicholas Holt was right on his tail with this role. So I think that probably they did lowball him a little bit, but he probably had to sign on for, like, I don't know, a six-picture deal or something along those lines. He definitely had to sign on for at least three, if I had to guess. So I'm sure that that goes up. And also, he might have points on this movie. He might be being paid on the back end as well.
Yeah. So he's probably not really a box office draw either.
For sure,
like,
not. Especially
parents,
not in this category.
World. Yeah. Like, my parents know who Jonah Hill is, but they probably don't know who Robert Pattinson is.
Yeah, that's what I always gauge them with Grammy and Papa.
Do you think that they would cast another big famous person to play the villain?
Well, what we're hearing rumors of is that they're going with a rogues gallery, which means that we're probably going to have multiple villains. There probably will be a Penguin. There will be a Riddler. There are like 10 different people that might be on screen.
To just introduce the new Batman?
To introduce like who he's going up against. So I don't know if, based on the script, if there's a lot of villains getting a little bit of airtime, No, I don't think they're going to bring in somebody massive. But if there's one main villain, which I'm guessing, and the people kind of behind him, probably being Riddler leading that, there's different people that we could have lead that group, but that main person will probably get the big chunk. And yes, I do think he will bring in a face for that, if that is the case.
I do have the perfect pitch for Penguin if they cast. Do you guys know who Paul Walter Hauser is?
I love him a lot.
I know. I think he'd be a great Penguin.
What's he been in?
He's great. He's going to be in the new Clint Eastwood movie.
He was in I, Tonya.
I, Tonya is how I think of him. He's the guy that like helped push the conspiracy and actually... But
he was most recently in something phenomenal as well.
Yes.
What was it? It was maybe a TV show. Jeff, if you look up his IMDb, his most recent two projects.
Late Night, Black Klansman.
Black Klansman, he was awesome in. But what was the one prior to that?
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai, that's Cobra the TV Kai. Show. Yeah. Yes. Cobra Kai, he's excellent in that
I would
as well.
Love... He's, I think, on the cusp. And I think he'd be a great Penguin.
He is phenomenal. He would be an interesting Penguin, although I don't mind... I like in Gotham, we have a skinnier Penguin, which weight doesn't affect my Penguin. That's not how I look at Penguin. And I know that a lot of people think of Penguin as heavier, and that's why people were so offended for Jonah Hill that he was even in talks. I actually think he would have made an excellent Penguin, having nothing to do with size, because it doesn't. Penguin, you know, nicknamed Penguin because of waddling, not because of largeness. But, yeah, I think that would be a great pick, Jeff, because I think he's a great actor. So
He's got that creepiness, I think. Or he can play that creepiness
play that.
Really well.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that. Any other news before we get out of here, Michael?
I think just a final mention, because I think this is incredible. I can't say his name, because it's like Eliud Kipchoge, something like that.
Nailed it.
First person ever to run a marathon in under 2 hours. It was technically not a world record, because it was... not an official race. It was kind of an engineered race where they kind of set it up. He's the fastest man alive. He had already run the marathon in a little over 2 hours. And this is one of those things that like goes down in history as something that we almost never thought possible. It's like when Roger Bannister broke the 4 minute mile record, broke the 4 minute mile mark. And so he did it in an hour and 59 minutes and 39 seconds. And just so everyone is aware, that he averaged 4.5 minutes a mile.
It's so crazy to me that they can run dozens of miles quicker than I can run a mile.
Like, yes.
I mean, I can't run a mile in under 8:50, 9 minutes right now. Like,
I'm frankly kind of...
He's running 2 miles in that time and then also running an additional 24 miles.
My body would actually disintegrate.
Like, that's so crazy.
Blowing.
Well, shout out to the person whose name we can't say.
So, yeah.
It's
a huge, like, physical thing that, you know, it's like, again, the Roger Bannister 4 minute, the first person who did the 100 meter in under 10 seconds. It's one of those where, like, that next part of human capability.
Crazy.
Really cool.
Time to get out of here, guys, but I did want to say thank you for all of you who were live in the chat with us, 5 p.m. Pacific time on NotSam Network. For those of you guys who played nice, I love you. For those of you who didn't suck my dick, shout out to... Michael says, yep.
Yep.
I actually appreciate that. Paul DiNuzio, Matthew Gold, Mr. Cardinal, Brandy, we love you guys. And the rest of you guys who play nice, we love you as well. Michael, where can everybody keep up with you?
Oh, you can find me at TheOnlyMC on Instagram and on Twitter.
Steph?
At Steph Sabra on Instagram and Twitter.
And Jeff? Jeffrey C. Graham.
That would be at Jeffrey C. Graham. You know, I'm pushing my Instagram right now, so... Jeffrey
Crane
Graham. That's right.
Absolutely. It's at Undergaro. It's at Not Sam. We're at The Tomorrow Show. I'm at Roxy Stryer. And because I botched it last time, Michael, until next week,
do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Be sure to subscribe to our Not Sam YouTube channel and hit us up on social media at The Tomorrow Show. I'm Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, and this has been a presentation of the Not Sam Network.